This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, let's go right to him, man. There's a lot of stuff going back to the year 2013. Bullygate, Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, and Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald joins us. And Omar, I saw where you said you were reporting lies during the Incognito Bullygate. What did you mean you were reporting lies? I didn't get that.
I felt like they were lies. People, remember the Bullygate? Where I forget what Jonathan Martin's lawyer was, name was.
His mother?
No, his lawyer.
No. Because she apparently, he's throwing it all in his mom now. His mom. He was doing what his mom.
I could see that. And I didn't like, but I understood the fact that she did not want to participate in the story, did not want to be part of the story. And listen, we've all got mothers. They're ultra protective, Joe. You know your mom would have protected you too.
Not at that level. I'm not from today's thing. No. My mom and dad, like, you got yourself in this mess or you ain't quitting. They weren't like, hey, you're right, babe. I didn't get any of that. Nope, not a lick.
So the point I was making was at that time of the remember Bullygate. Remember CNN and all these
every
news
day,
networks.
Every day
for a month, for like 2 months, we're inside the Dolphins locker room, and you know I was talking to my colleague Isaiah Smalls, and I was trying to explain it to him, and I was like, you remember how everybody in the world was in our locker room after Tyree got arrested the next day? Imagine that for about 6 weeks. That was what Bullygate was like. And it was such a national big story. And the lawyer for or representatives for Jonathan Martin, remember he just kept teasing out negative stuff about Richie to sort of paint the narrative and control the story and sort of force the hand of Ted Wells. Well, I always knew Jonathan wasn't bullied. Jonathan was soft. And even though Richie's behavior was not acceptable at times, his teammates and his coaches never bullied him or created a hostile work environment. I think the NFL was just a hostile work environment. And keep in mind that I have seen more than a dozen Dolphins players struggle with what Jonathan Martin struggled with. And and fall to prey of depression and anxiety.
Oh, we've had a bunch. Yes.
And drugs, resort to drugs. Jonathan wasn't the first. He won't be the last. He was just, in my opinion, and I knew this before Bullygate even happened, mentally not prepared for the NFL.
The league is not for everybody, man. I heard everybody, and Nolan Carroll was with us early this morning. And said the same thing, man. It's not for everybody. But those guys, liked him. I remember Pounce and the rest of those guys going, yep. Man, you can say whatever you want about Richie. I'm telling you right now, guys on this team like Richie Incognito. And by the way,
they defended him. Yep.
Yes. And we're still looking for guards that can play like him.
Yes, that's correct. Richie went on to become a Pro Bowler after he was banished from the NFL for a year and a half.
Pretty amazing story, yeah.
And really, it took Rex Ryan and John Gruden to let him back in the league. But because Richie could play, played 13 seasons. So, you know, props to Richie. And nobody's saying Richie's a choir boy because, you know, the hardest thing to defend is Richie's use of the N-word, which I blame basically John Jerry and Mike Pouncey for because, you know, they gave him a N-word pass. And that's not acceptable. And, you know, the way he talked to Jonathan Martin, you know, Richie came from, unfortunately, a house that abuse was his parent. And so Richie only knew how to love through abuse, in my opinion. And that's not acceptable. You know, maybe it was a bad cocktail of Richie and Jonathan being best friends, Mr. Tough Guy with Mr. Softy. But, you know, it wasn't what they made it out to be. And I'm proud of Jonathan Martin for finally admitting that. But it should have started with an apology.
Did you talk to Richie Incognito? Have you talked to him?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Yeah. He's talked to the world. I was a little surprised when he talked to the world after the fact. After I wrote my column.
I'm sure it's bothered him after all these years because he's had his own mental issues and this stuff just the things he's been accused of. If like
he's a face of bullying in America.
Yes,
and probably will always be the face of bullying, and I don't think that's fair. I know this firsthand. There was nobody on that team who was closer than Jonathan Martin to then Richie Incognito. Nobody cared about Jonathan Martin more than Richie Incognito. Yes, was some of his behavior abusive? Absolutely. Was some of his antics, you know, abusive and could be considered bullying? Yes, but he was trying. That was his little brother. And unfortunately, you know, not everybody is meant to be somebody's mentor.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you about all that stuff.
Very traumatic time in my life, Joe.
Yeah. No, I got it when you said you felt like you had to lie. You had to write what everybody else was.
I mean, as a reporter, you have to write what's the new news. And remember, that used to be a period where every day crap got put out there about, you know. And literally, the Ted Wells report was about 144 pages of their stupid text back and forth to one another.
So what do you think now that Ted Wells did this whole thing? And by the way, they cleaned. We had a trainer lose his job.
You had
a coach lose it. There are a lot of people went down with this whole thing all over the building with these interviews and stuff that were being done while you're trying to play football games during the week. And they're going, oh, stay out of it. We got our independent investigator from the NFL in there. What did you think about Ted Wells with what he came up with then?
I think he came up with a conclusion that needed to be made so that he could and the NFL could put a pretty bow on it and get it in their past and, you know, maybe change the culture of football. Because remember, they don't shave players' heads no more, Joe. You know, the toughest thing
that's a good point. You know what? That's funny you said. I haven't seen that in a long time. You're right.
The toughest thing they make them do is sing their fight song in front of.
Oh, I was going to say, grab their shoulder pads, make them carry in the pads.
Oh yeah, I don't even know if I see that anymore. Did you have your head shaved, Joe?
No, but I sang. They I had a big mouth, and I changed the songs. I'd sing other guys' fight songs and put like change the words around, take little jabs at them. And I was like, I like doing it because they told me, hey, man, they'll have you up there. If you fight this at all, they'll have you up there every night. So I literally, can I do another song? And now y'all sit down.
Yep.
Yeah.
They,
mine was relentless, man. Mine was, we had chugging contests and we sit and I'd be sitting ready to throw up from chugging beers like an hour earlier for the meetings after practice.
The worst thing they make them do is they make them buy that ridiculous expensive dinner and you know
I did bring that up.
they have to bring food. They have to bring food for the team flight.
Yeah, that's been around too. Ours was all conks.
Yeah, to get conk fritters.
Crack conk, okay. Crack conk was huge.
Crack conk, okay, yeah.
Was a go-to. That was a go-to, yeah. That was good. So you had to do that, and if you didn't, yeah. There was like, you know, yeah, it was, there was a lot of crazy stuff, and by the way, a lot of guys fought it, and a lot of guys lost, man, and the team was kind of...
Joe, they were bullied. You realize that, right, Joe?
Well, you just can't do it anymore. Times have changed, and we're things are a lot different.
We're a much softer culture now,
Joe. My dad has reminded me that I was raised differently than... matter of fact, I was sitting with him, and he brought it up again. He kind of hit me with, hey, you can't say anything. Hey, you didn't, the way I raised you, not the way you were raising those kids. I go, you're right. You're right. I look at him and go, you're right.
You can't.
I'm not, he said, I'm not saying anything's wrong with your kids, but I go, you're right. You're right.
I remember there was a day I got beat in high school. I got beat in elementary school, not by my parents, but by my teacher. I used to get beat by the principal.
See that with you, Omar. You might need a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
So wait a second. Bit. Are you saying? I thought you missed that. You didn't miss that where you got it at home, the principal and the teacher.
I think it was helpful for me.
Woody, wait a sec.
Was it a little bit of abuse? Probably.
Wait a sec, Omar. You're telling me Carroll City. You're talking before Carroll City High School.
I can't remember if it was Jamaica or Carroll City. I can't remember. I know it was definitely Jamaica. I probably got beat in school by my parents, maybe in front of my class.
You're saying Jamaica? They got after it over in Jamaica.
Oh yeah, man, with a ruler. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, so I got to ask you about this before I forget. So Finn's release, Raheem and Kendall and Durham Smythe, and I don't know if anybody was really surprised by it, but does this move
Kendall
you?
Kendall was a surprise. Kendall was absolutely surprised.
Well,
even though
I'm glad
I don't
you
know
said
if he
that.
Was gonna be, I don't know if he was going to be healthy enough to participate in the season because, you know, remember he suffered his knee injury in December. But it's not like they saved a ton of money because they didn't even designate him a June 1st release. But that means they saved their two June 1st releases for other guys.
So let me
keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's a good one, by the way. I'll get back to that. But I want to ask you, so now all of a sudden I look at Jalen Ramsey, okay, Kader Kohou, okay, in the slot inside.
No, Kader's a restricted free agent, by the way.
Is he?
So, yes, he is.
They get him.
He's not on your team yet.
They get him back, though, right? Or no?
More than likely, unless some team decides that they want to give him a multi-year deal, because they're going to put a original round tender on him and basically just allow other teams to bid and get a right of first refusal. I believe David Canner's his agent. David's a pretty good agent, so hopefully David could get him a multi-year deal. But I expect Kader to be back.
So who else? Storm Duck played a lot of football at the end of the year, but who else do you have in there?
That wonderful Cam Smith.
I'm not trusting him. Can't trust him. Go ahead.
He didn't perform much worse than Storm Duck. Like, you know, listen.
At least he was available.
Yeah, that's true. And he was he's a draft pick. Cam Smith, you can't ignore Cam Smith because his team favors their draft picks. So, but yeah, they're going to have to go out in free agency and address cornerback. When they released Kendall Fuller, they just made it a need, a priority.
Yeah, a priority, exactly. I just want to make sure you were thinking the same thing on that. So we have the club. Who do you think could be? What happens with Bradley Chubb? Everybody's asking me.
I don't know. They're going to obviously try to shake him down. That's just the Dolphins' way. If I'm Bradley, I let them shake me down because, you know, to making $10 million is a lot better than is a lot better than going out in free agent market on an ACL injury and testing the market. But if Bradley doesn't want to be here or he doesn't like South Florida, he'd probably just say cut me and let me go out there and get myself a new deal.
I can
honestly tell you I don't know what happens there. I think they're going to go and create about $30 million in cap space. To do that, you got to go to the Bank of Tua. You got to shake down Bradley Chubb. You got to shake down Teron Armstead.
So that's a good one, too, the Teron Armstead. You think he's going to play?
Yes, I'm pretty sure he's going to play. I would bet money that he's going to play. The question is he going to play here? And I'm of the opinion that Mike McDaniels absolutely, without a doubt, unequivocally needs him. Even if he doesn't play the entire season, they just need his leadership. You can't lose him and Calais Campbell in the same season and think you're just going to, you know, ho-hum, just keep everything going.
What do?
You need strong veteran leadership.
And by the way, I agree. And I think he's the only guy. He's the only guy that Tyreek Hill respects of the veteran players that will listen. I think that's the only guy. That's just my opinion of watching it.
No, Jalen Ramsey, he respects him. But he Tyreek. Let me see.
I'm not sure Jalen Ramsey will ever say anything to him though.
Like, hey, man. Tyreek. Yeah. He might even agree with Tyreek. What you talking about? Him and Tyreek are probably in lockstep.
Yeah.
Raheem was a leader. That's the thing. They're getting rid of the leaders. And so other leaders have to step up. That means Zach Seeler. That means Jordan Brooks. Yeah. But you want Zach to step up. You're gonna have to improve that contract.
I don't think that's Zach's personality to go, hey, you need to do this.
Yes. He's trying to. He says he's learned a lot from Calais Campbell about from a leadership standpoint.
Hey.
Like all these guys are learn from Calais. You can't just be that quiet guy. If you want to change a team's culture, you want to be an impactful player, you got to talk to.
Okay, so what do we do with Patrick Paul and his growth as a player besides, I know you've told me he gets to play all of camp and
yeah.
And so what happens
all
if
camp,
he,
all the exhibition season, if he does well, cool, put him out there. But okay.
They're telling Teron he may be coming here as a backup?
No. I don't think there's any chance Patrick Paul's better than Teron. Teron, before Teron started getting hurt.
No, I agree. I agree with you. I know how good he is.
Best tackle in the NFL.
It's just of him staying healthy. But no, there's no question. I've never seen a guy that good that never practices. He is.
We know he's not going to stay healthy. The question is, can you do without his leadership? And my answer to that question is absolutely not. Not with a young, inexperienced offensive line. You remove Teron, Austin Jackson immediately becomes the veteran of that line.
Yeah.
And you want to go into a season Austin Jackson as a veteran of your line?
No, I don't. But I know we got to upgrade this thing in a big, big way. And
But you can upgrade all of the interiors. You can upgrade the interior spots. You don't have to I like the stabilizing presence of Teron, not just from a leadership standpoint. Even if he's good for 10 games, that's 10 games of good left tackle play. And then young boy Patrick Paul could get in there and fill in for the other 7 games and start to cut his teeth a little bit better. I didn't say he performed poorly last season because I don't think he did. And I'm thinking if you gave him more playing time, he would perform better. But is he ready to become an NFL left tackle right now? My answer to that question would be no.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, our draft picks, it takes year 3 or 4. You know what? You bring up a good point there. Hey.
That's a cheap shot, Joe.
That wasn't a cheap shot, Joe. Omar, we had
it's
so much.
Accurate, but it was a cheap shot.
No, Omar, you know what? We got a lot of stuff that I wanted to get to here. We ran out of time. But thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
You take care.
Anytime, Joe.
I didn't even get to Valentine's Day and you D'ing up or not D'ing up there. But anyway, hey, that's Omar Kelly.
I did all right, Joe.
What are you sending out on social media? Valentine's Day, I'm D'ing up.
No. I said all I'm doing is – because all these people want to do is attack me all day on Twitter. I said all I'm doing is giving out love and D. Everybody else, y'all can go elsewhere.
So people been getting on you a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, every day, Joe. It's Twitter's such a horrible place now. It's like I wish I had someplace else to go.
You create it.
I didn't create Twitter. Elon Musk created it.
It's self-inflicted, this stuff you're doing, man. All right, I got to run. I'm running super late. Right. Omar Kelly with us. All right, hey, we got to go to Atlantic Men's Clinic. ED and low T, man, nothing to mess with. Oh, no, and if you're going through it, you don't have to. Now the Atlantic Men's Clinic, 10 months ago, I did not want to go to that meeting. And they're going, please just go. Just hear what they have to say. Little did they know that I had ED and low T when I was going to that meeting. And I got to tell you, I loved everything I heard. Got all my testing done. I did the T, the PSA test, and everything else, man. Got it done. Got the results. Got on a program and got rocking and rolling right away. had great results right away, and I want to share them with everybody, man. If your energy level's not where it was and you're not working out and you gain some weight because you're not doing anything but watching TV and sleeping more, and if you've noticed your sex drive is gone, it's normal. Sooner or later, ED and low T can hit every man out there. They can laugh at us and everything they want, but sooner or later, 40s, 50s, 60s, it happens to every guy, everybody. And then what do? Do you just let it happen, or are you going to take care of the problem so you can enjoy your life, 40s and 50s and 60s, and get more out of it, including chasing that little lady around? It was important to me. I think it's important to you, too. Hey, here's what I want. We got six locations in South Florida to serve. You got to set up that first appointment, hear what they have to say, and find out just how good the results will be. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com. You got to set up that first appointment. Thank you, Atlantic Men's Clinic. It works.
All right, before we get back to the show here, let's get you first some weather. It is brought to you by the DeMezzo and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. 76 degrees, the rain chance does go up into the 30s in the afternoon, so there's some sort of potential for rain. And Joe, before we get back to it here, we'll let people know, country music star Hardy is bringing his Jim Bob World Tour to I Think Financial Amphitheater this September. We've got a chance for you to win tickets. All you have to do is go to the WQAM.com contest page and enter. If your name is picked, you win. That is a Live Nation show.
All right, Woody, sounds good. Hey, we were just talking about this off the air. Somebody out there has got to help me on the text machine this morning. When was the last year? Does anybody remember when they stopped whooping ass spanking, where principals and teachers were no longer allowed to smack the kids? What year was that?
Well, I was yelling at you during the interview, like through your headset there. I believe Omar is like 4 or 5 years older than me.
But he could have caught it. So you're saying he's 40. If you're 43,
I think I
44,
was like way, way past that era, man. That was not, like, I was born in 85. There was no nothing like that going on. I went to public school in Miami. There was nothing like that going on.
Now, the Catholics that had nuns, there were no rules. You could smack up till like a year ago. But everybody else.
I'm talking about, Omar said he went to public school in Miami, as did I. I am telling you that at my age, there was nothing like that. The worst thing you got was they'd send a note home to your parents. They did not whip you.
I didn't get smacked in high school, just to be fair, because I hate when things get exaggerated, and I would never do that. But elementary school and down is a different deal. Like, I did get smacked in.
Someone said 94, that slaps were no longer a thing. Someone said 2000. I said, no, that's not accurate.
Well, I asked people for their opinion. Maybe every
nobody
school
in
different.
The 90s was getting
so
hit.
Let me ask you, again.
What happened in the late 80s?
Somebody apparently forgot to tell the nuns, because the nuns, they were still.
You're on your own with that, yeah. That's, yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you firsthand. Catholics can talk about Catholics. I didn't say devout Catholic. I just said Catholic.
Omar said he got hit in Jamaica. He didn't say here. Quit telling him like, okay.
No, he said he did. He did. Second part was in Jamaica. They still whoop ass.
But he also said he got hit here, didn't he? Isn't that what he said?
He did. He did say that.
But he didn't live in. Did Omar live in Jamaica?
He did. He said that before. Huh. I don't think he got spanked at Carroll City High School. He might have had a couple of guys jack him upside the head or something, but he never got spanked. I remember, honestly, the rough years for me were the fourth, fifth, and sixth grades were rough. I don't know what I was going through stuff, but it was a little rough. I did some stupid stuff. I mean, I got jacked pretty good. Now, there were no rules right up to confirmation in that eighth grade. That thing was out of control. That thing went a little bit longer. Now, they weren't punches or anything or a big man with a paddle like the principal. But I tell you what, those nuns with that little ruler, they could smack you. It was a little sting. I'm not saying it was anything. It was just enough to irritate you.
All right,
or smack you in the back of the head. That was another nun special. Come up behind you and smack you. And then if you had a little note about him or something, then they had you put that hand out, and they got that ruler on you.
We're getting
whack.
Years here, Joe.
What are you getting for
this? His dad graduated Carroll City 82. They were still spanking kids. Someone said 79.
Wow.
I got it in 1977.
Yeah, I'm just asking everybody about their own experience of the last time they
remember. Here you go, man. It's the stopping of the spanking. That's when the soft generation started. We were always due for one of those.
Well, it's fine. I'm not sitting here talking about old school or new school. I got smacked on a regular basis. My children have not been smacked at all.
Yeah, but we always have to have someone calling the new generation soft. That's, you just have to do that. By the way, I almost caught myself doing that. I gotta stop doing that because that's a grumpy old man thing, and I don't want to do that.
What is that?
To say the new generation is soft, because every generation thinks that. Your dad probably thought your generation was soft, right?
I don't think he thought mine was. I think as parents, he thinks we got a little soft. Yes. All the guys I
played. But I'm guessing he had it tougher growing up than you did.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No question.
So it just changes, man.
No, I think he jumped into military at 17 or 18. He was off and done.
You didn't do that.
Hell no, I didn't do that. And he was working. His father died when he was young, so he was getting after it, yeah.
Someone said they got the paddle in Texas in 84.
All you got to do now is threaten kids with that paddle. Now, I don't know if they laugh and go, you never hit me, but I got to tell you, that thing worked, especially when I got to this elementary school and they said this guy, his name was Principal Cinnamon. He was a big man. At the time, he was about 6'3", about 220, 225, and he had that butch haircut. He had that military haircut, scared the hell out of me, and it was always, you had to say hello to him. I mean, he was tough. And I remember everybody going, listen, if you get in trouble, that man, he's got a paddle in there you don't want to see. Mm. It's 3, 4, maybe 5 swats according to what you've done. And he got me one day. And then he called the house right after. I had little tears in my eyes because it stung. It was a stinger. And the two guys were on deck. I took the first one. Two other idiots with me were up. They were coming up. So I took it. You know, I was wiping my eyes and stuff. I thought it was done, right? He goes, no, I'm calling your mom right now. I go, oh, no, now this went from bad to worse. Said, your mom wants you home at 3 o'clock right after school. You got 5 minutes to get from school's out at 2:55. She expects you home at 3, and she called your father, and he will be home early from work. And apparently that puts him in a real salty mood. What's your father do, Joe? So he climbs poles. Oh, he going to be mad when he gets called and has to come out of work. They taunted me. And then I got the double hammer, because when he got home, he was in a bad mood. Bad, bad mood. We got
a couple more. Miami Shenandoah paddle in 1988.
19, we're getting a lot of 80s on spanking.
This guy says went to Catholic grade school and high school in the late 70s and 1980s. There was absolutely no physical contact in any way. Or did I ever hear about that in Oregon? He was in Oregon in Catholic schools at that time. At home, it was a different deal, but nothing at school ever.
Yeah. So I grew up with in this little town with nuns. Why are you getting ready to laugh?
Yeah, because I know where you're going with it. You make it sound so bad.
They were mean.
I know. You've told me.
God bless them. They gave up their life. But, man, I got to tell you.
What do they have to do? Is that a no?
I always.
Yeah. Sleeping?
Yes.
Really? For
and,
good, huh?
And so the priest never stood up to him. I always thought the priests were way soft on the nuns.
Aren't they on the same team?
Yeah, but like when you said, hey, this nun's a little... Well, first of all, you had nobody to go to because your parents were all in on the Catholic Church. You had no shot. You were... There was no... What about my... How about I said the nun had a bad day and didn't have to do that? You deserved it. That's all you got, right? But they... I just don't ever remember a nun being in a good mood. It's terrible to say. I take that back. I got along with the sister over at St. Thomas. She was very nice. But some would say she could be tough, too. But I never saw that side. She liked me when I go over there with the kids. She liked me. But I got to tell you, growing up, I have no fond memories of any nuns that through my whole town was Catholic. I literally had one of those towns between Mexican Americans and the Portuguese and the Italians who were in there. It was all Catholic. We had one thing in common. It was Catholic. And the nuns were a big part of our life. And they were all friggin' mean. They were mean. All right. I got to go to break. Some of my memories of the church were not great. Bless me, Father. The nuns are not very nice. Hey, I got to tell you right now, man, Loctite, Chev over there, the CEO, says, hey, Joe, man, we got to let some people know, man, the great work that they are doing right now for you is fantastic. And I got to tell you, for a long, long time now, we've been telling you about Loctite Impact and just the work that they do. It's fantastic. They'll protect your home now with Loctite Impact, windows, doors, and roofing. You've been talking about doing it. Call Loctite Impact with South Florida's largest fleet of 5-star rated service professionals. Replace your old roof, windows now with zero down and 100% financing. Get Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. Plus Loctite Impact's pros will handle the projects from permit to installation, everything from start to finish. You're getting the whole works there. Loctite Impact. Chev, the CEO, is going to make sure they do great work, great people, great products. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, that's LoctiteImpact.com or call 954-500-LOCK with Loctite Impact today. I just want to let you know, not that we can repeat it, but some of you are sick puppies. Some of you.
That came from Tampa, 813. Very, you know who you are.
You know so. Who you are, and you're a very sick human being.
We got a good laugh out of it, though. It's a shame you can't
it's
just
a shame.
Let it rip in here, right?
No. Not unless you want to get. not unless you want to lose your job.
That's HR.
Yeah, that's HR. That's a part of HR we don't mess with, some of that stuff coming in here.
Someone say my butt cheeks tingled when I heard the word paddle 40 years post-paddling in Miami.
I don't think anybody's got the paddle. Even the stories of
now?
Paddles with the holes in them.
Oh, no.
And I'm not talking about a ping pong bat. I'm talking about the thick ones. Still remember like yesterday. That guy, when I was in the fifth grade, the big man that was the principal, scared the hell out of me. One of the most feared men that I was ever around till I met Don Shula. He was by himself there going through school. Different level when I got to that one. We got all kinds of stuff going on here today with all the news. And well, I'll tell you what, I can't wait for Thursday night. Hockey just hit a grand slam on this Four Nations playoff. It's the best. Look, I wish they could just do this all the time and let Canada and United States just play against each other, because what happened with the Tkachuk brothers, the way that game started against Russia kind of set the tone. They went on in Montreal, got a 3-1 win, and then now they're going to play each other again Thursday, and that thing is going to be fun. I guess the Tkachuk brothers are a little banged up right now. Hopefully they'll all be back. There's actually a lot of guys on the United States team that are banged up in this, because you know Russia just is getting ripped up there for that effort against the United States. And they got a loaded team. Make no mistake about it. Not just Bennett and Reinhardt from the Panthers. They got McDavid, Crosby, Point. McKinnon is a hell of a player. They got both teams are loaded. I mean, both teams got like great players. United States is loaded too. Man, that's going to be a fun game to watch. And you just know Canada's coming out at a different level this time around. That there are going to be no surprises with the
Tkachuk
brothers.
We going to boo their anthem? Now that we're on American soil, can we boo the Canadian national anthem?
I don't know.
Anthem?
That's a great question. I don't know
They hate us in Canada now. They're just not fans of ours.
Yeah, but it's not really the players. It's not.
I mean, it's all recent, but.
Yeah.
Long-standing.
I don't think those guys went, wow, they're booing us.
I think they noticed.
They did notice. Tkachuk said he didn't like it.
They even booed Michelle, whoever, the figure skater, when she came out.
All right.
Right?
So.
Can't think of her last name.
I don't know, but I don't know to answer your question how Boston's going to treat this.
No, I'm sure they'll be real nice in Boston. That's what they're known for.
But I don't know what the breakdown. I don't know what the break
is going to be.
No,
like?
No, because I think a lot of Canadians.
Chuck said he thinks it's going to be the best atmosphere he's ever played in his life.
The Canadians are going to have a lot of fans there, too.
Whoever has got the money.
They have money in Canada,
Kwan,
too.
Kwan, Michelle Kwan.
There you go. So anyway,
she introduced the team. Remember that?
But that game Thursday night is just going to be unbelievable. Got great ratings, too. 4.4 average, high of 5.2 million. And this one should be unbelievable. And I tell you what it's done for hockey in this town, Matthew Tkachuk, the impact he has had on everything that's going on is just incredible. He and his brother, obviously not playing for the Panthers, but playing for the United States, but can't say enough about Matthew Tkachuk starting that thing. Getting going, then his brother went at it with Bennett, who's Tkachuk's teammate here with the Panthers. Just great stuff. Great stuff. Now, the only guy making sense to me on this NBA weekend, one guy, the freak, the Greek freak. He comes out and says, why don't we just have the USA against the world? It'd be great. The USA against the world. I don't know why they wouldn't try it, because this isn't working. This isn't working. Everybody says, you guys don't play hard. You guys don't want to get involved in anything they're doing. You don't. The guys that are the high flyers, they don't want to be in the dunk contest. We got a G League guy. It's embarrassing. They're talking about what a great story, a G Leaguer to win the slam dunk 3 years in a row. It's not a great story. And this nobody knows who this guy is. He grew his hair longer now.
Yeah, Mac McClung. He plays for the Osceola Magic. Up there in Osceola, nice.
You used to complain with backups for NBA teams.
Now they can't even get NBA players.
Everybody goes, no.
That should be the NBA's biggest. I've been on this for years with the dunk guys. That should be their biggest event, their marquee event.
But can I say this?
Biggest stars. You know what? Let them do it. Shorten it if you're really afraid of these guys getting hurt or embarrassed, whatever they're afraid of.
What is getting worse? So I want to ask you this. I don't want to take away from Tyler Hero and his 3-point. Championship, hitting those shots, especially late. That was great. And fifth Heat player to win the 3-point contest. So that was good stuff. I don't want to take away from Tyler's big weekend. And by the way, it's not
the fact that he didn't go against the best shooters in the league.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
It would have been nice for the hometown crowd to have Steph Curry.
Yeah, he's too busy, though. Can't do it.
Greatest 3-point shooter of all time.
Nope, can't do it. Buddy Hield from the Warriors was kind enough to grace us with his presence, though.
Yeah, 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Did Lillard didn't do it either.
He did.
He did?
Yeah, he did. I think he lost in the second round, I want to say.
I'm trying to think who the other great 3-point. Everybody shoots so many threes now, I don't even know who's considered to be the best 3-point shooters.
I don't know, man. They do this thing where the guys run around and the skills challenge where they do the three people and they run around and throw balls through hoops.
Yeah.
The whole event sucks, and I actually went to an All-Star game.
Woody, they're trying everything.
It was terrible in person,
but they're trying, Woody. You can't get these commissioners.
They don't need to try though. You don't need to do gimmicks.
What do you mean?
You don't need gimmicks. Get your best players to do the dunk contest. Okay, get your best dunkers.
Go ahead.
Where's Anthony Edwards? What's he too busy doing? He can't do the dunk contest.
He should be in that.
Can't throw a couple dunks down for us. And then you know what? Maybe
hit his head on the rim.
Here's another idea, Joe. Maybe if you get the best dunkers, the best athletes you have in the league, they won't have to jump over cars and do stupid crap like that every year, these little novelties that these guys do.
Well, let's talk about the actual game. Let me hear your thoughts on the actual game.
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I don't care.
I mean, come on, man. You know the deal. They don't play defense.
Yeah. I didn't. I'm just not going to waste time. I watched the Saturday Night Live 50th. Thing on Sunday. I didn't watch the NBA All-Star game.
All right.
But I did notice on Twitter that everyone was ripping the hell out of it.
No, it got...
So I didn't feel the need to flip over.
Well, the other thing
if people online were like, oh, this is amazing. You got to see this. It didn't happen.
They needed Kevin Hart to come in, and he had to do his shtick, and it just didn't really match up with Kevin Hart, who's a very funny guy. His commercials are unbelievable. And then they stop halfway through on the TNT broadcast to do a tribute to that show.
Yeah, even though they all just re-signed and they're going to move to ESPN.
But it was just weird, and it went for a long time, and those guys are like, hey, man, this is great, but
Someone's ripping LeBron for sitting out, pulling out of the game last minute. It was uncool what he did, but LeBron, I feel like, is like the last person to rip for, you know, doing that kind of thing, right?
I did see the
LeBron does play.
I did see the introduction and showed up.
So at his press conference before the game, the guy was like, "How do you feel about suiting up for this game tonight?" And he's like, "Well, I won't be suiting up. My ankle hurts."
Ouch. Well,
you think the Tkachuk brothers are going to sit because they have a boo-boo?
I think they've already said they're playing, like, and they're hurt.
Yeah, they did.
We're playing. We'll worry about the regular season when we get back. But right now, we got to take care of these guys.
Boy, the NHL GMs must be just thrilled.
I don't think they care. I think they think it's great. These guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this stuff's great. Only you find. See, which way do you want it, Jerky?
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's been incredibly entertaining. I'm just looking at it from their perspective.
All right. So let's talk about our GM.
Imagine if the NFL had like a, you know, an international tournament in the middle of the season.
Can't do it.
Guys playing full speed.
Can't do it.
What do you mean can't do it? Sports just as physical.
Can't do it.
Hockey's probably more physical. When those guys play at that level?
First of all, Woody, because of size, they will never be equal. That's a dumb comment.
Because of size?
Yeah. 280-pound guys running around.
Well, you don't think playoff hockey is as physical as an NFL game?
Woody, I think the hits in the NFL are much bigger than the hits on the hockey. Hockey's a physical game. Don't get me wrong. It's physical.
I don't know, man. Those guys are knocking the crap out of each other. So,
Woody, just a guy running super fast.
You're saying they're not as good of athletes is what you're saying.
They're
or they're
great
not
athletes.
As big.
They're just not as big.
Okay.
You have 280-pound, 300-pound guys running around, hitting guys coming out on a screen.
I don't know, man. Those games
are
pretty physical.
You stick with what you want. We got 9 o'clock hour coming up.